Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
All right, welcome to episode 488 of Inside the FLX. It is time for our monthly chat with Cayuga County Sheriff Brian Skank. Sheriff, thanks so much for being here today. Appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
So a little bit of somber news to start with here. The two officers who were killed in Onondaga County, of course, we have seen and heard plenty of reaction from around the law enforcement community and the community in general here in the Finger Lakes. Your thoughts, I just want to give you some space to talk a little bit about that and how you received that news.
Sure. This is a very difficult time for our law enforcement community here in Central New York, and certainly for the Onondaga County Sheriff's Office and the Syracuse Police Department, who each lost a dedicated member of their team. I actually received the news via one of our lieutenants the night that this had occurred. He had received some information that this was going on in Onondaga County, and the news was spreading pretty quickly through the law enforcement community that two members, each member of each of those agencies had been shot, and that it didn't look good for them. So it's always very difficult to get news like that. I know it's difficult for our community and for the Syracuse community. And, you know, our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers go out to the Syracuse PD, the Onondaga County Sheriff's Office, and certainly the families of Lieutenant Husak and Officer Jensen. Just a terrible thing, and it's a real difficult time for our entire community, not just law enforcement here in Central New York.
I was going to say, specific to law enforcement, unfortunately, things like this happen more often than any of us would like, right? How does an agency like yours handle a situation like this? It's something that happened in a neighboring county, right? And I'm sure there's an impact among officers, right? Like there's feelings, there's a lot of things that have to be processed. How does your department sort of handle that for your team so that everybody is sort of thought of in that process?
Sure, these are very difficult situations, and I can tell you that while I didn't know the two individuals that we lost here over the weekend personally, there are members of our agency here at the Cayuga County Sheriff's Office that did. Yeah. I can see, you know, that's really, really affected them. And it's a very difficult time for them. It's never easy to lose anybody in our profession. But when you personally know that individual, it's tough. It's like losing a member of your family. Law enforcement, you know, our agencies, we're close-knit. We're like a large family. Very tough to deal with when you lose one of your own. And, you know, we try to look out for each other as a family. We have peer support in-house. We have chaplains. You know, we're certainly trying to make sure that we take care of each other if somebody's struggling and work through that. And, you know, my worst nightmare is to have something like this happen to our agency. And I pray that we are never faced with this. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of support right now with the two agencies that are dealing with this, but, you know, they lost a member of their family and they're grieving like a family. And it's something that they'll probably never fully get over, but it's key that, you know, they take care of each other and work just as you would if it was a family member that you had lost.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to officer safety, there's after instances like this, even non-fatal instances like this, there are always calls for improving or potentially improving officer safety. Talk to me about anything that you see from your vantage point, not specific to this case, but just in general, that could make the work you guys do safer to do on a daily basis. You're not going to avoid all of these situations, right? But when you sort of look at the day-to-day, what are some of the things that stand out to you as concerns when it comes to officer safety?
I can tell you from my own personal experience, I think that, you know, as you get time on the job, you tend sometimes to get complacent. And when these things happen out there, whether it's, you know, something near to home, or you hear of another, you know, officer that's been hurt or lost their life throughout the country, it tends to knock you back into being a little bit more aware, a little bit more vigilant about the work that you do. And, you know, sometimes I hate to say that calls become routine, because there is no such thing as a routine call. But if you go for a long period of time without that close call or something happening, I think it's human nature sometimes to get a little bit complacent. You know, and these things, you know, can have a tendency to remind you that, you know, hey, you know, some of these calls where officers have been seriously injured or killed are not calls where you would assume that that would be an outcome when you respond to them. So it's a very difficult reminder that it doesn't matter what type of call you're going on, what type of traffic stop you're making, whatever the case might be, you know, there's potential danger around every corner. And we just need to make sure that we're being very careful, that we're aware of our surroundings, and, you know, that we're paying attention to officer safety. So, you know, I'm sure that's on the minds of everybody in our agency, given what took place here over the weekend. But, you know, if there's any small positive that comes from those things, I think it does help, you know, help give us cases to research, to study, to learn from, to try to do better moving forward.
Yeah, I think of all the times that you've talked about different trainings, routine trainings, regular trainings, recurring trainings that your team goes through. And I can't even imagine like that in situations like this, this must be that reminder of how important all those efforts are all year long.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do take certain scenarios at times, things that have happened out there, real life scenarios, and try to train, you know, given that set of circumstances. So we might set up a training that is similar to what happened and work through that and try to learn from those things. So, yeah, we try to do our best to prepare as much as we can, but you just never know what you're going to face out there.
Absolutely. All right. Let's jump back into Huga County here. The Share the Road campaign. It kicks off later today. Matter of fact, just a couple hours from now. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we are kicking off our 2024 Share the Road campaign, and I'm proud to partner with the members of our Sheriff's Office and New York State Farm Bureau, Huga County Farm Bureau, and Cornell Cooperative Extension to really bring attention to the hazards of not doing what you should do when you approach slow moving vehicles. And one of the big reasons that I really stress safety when it comes to dealing with these types of vehicles is that the crashes that occur involving slow moving vehicles tend to be much more deadly than those that are not. And the New York Center for Agricultural Health and Medicine did a study in 2019 and determined that agricultural vehicle crashes, if there's an agricultural vehicle involved, it's typically five times more deadly than those types of crashes that do not involve agricultural vehicles. So we're trying to push and stress that, you know, you need to slow down when you're around slow moving vehicles, give the operator space. And I think one of the biggest concerns that we're trying to push out there is that if it's a no passing zone, you shouldn't be passing that slow moving vehicle, no matter how slow they're going, because it's creating a very dangerous situation in the oncoming lane. So this is all about prevention. It's about awareness. And we are kicking off that campaign with our partners and some media folks later today to hopefully send the message that, you know, please slow down, give these types of vehicles extra space. And also we want to make sure that the operators of these vehicles are displaying slow moving vehicle signs and that they're doing what they should be doing as well. So it's all about safety on our roadways.
Be patient. That's the message. Speaking of that, I'm always curious. This time of year seems to be when folks start to think about horse and buggies as well. Not obviously an agricultural vehicle, but something we see plenty of out here in the rural Finger Lakes. How much horse and buggy traffic do you guys see in Huga County? I know some communities in the area, Yates County, have particularly higher numbers than others, but what do you guys see over there with that?
We do have some primarily at the southern end of our county. Yeah. In fact, as you speak about that, we did have a crash involving a horse-drawn buggy a couple of days ago here in Cayuga County. And I don't have a lot of details on that because the state police actually responded to that one and handled it. But they do occur. And as you said, I am very aware in Yates County, there's been a number of very serious incidents involving those types of vehicles. And that's just another type of vehicle that we need to be very aware of and slow down when we encounter them, give them space. You know, we see things, you know, horses can be unpredictable when a vehicle's going by, and we need to give them even, in my opinion, more space than we do agricultural farm equipment.
Absolutely. Let's talk eclipse. That was just a few weeks ago. We had you on about a week before the eclipse talking about some of the prep work that your team was undertaking to be ready for the influx of traffic. Traffic did surge, although it was cloudy that day. How did things go from your point of view?
Everything went pretty well. We did have some traffic backups following the eclipse. And I think that that was the case in a number of central New York counties and that fall within your listening area. But I think, you know, we had a lot of people come into our community, tourists and people from out of town that after the eclipse was over, decided that they try to leave all at the same time. And we did have a couple of backups that were about a mile or two from the intersections on some state roads. But really, we didn't have to do much as far as directing traffic. They just kind of worked themselves out. So we were fortunate. We did a lot of planning. We were prepared for it. Had the skies been clear that day, I'm not sure if maybe we would have had a lot more traffic. But as it worked out, it went well from that front. But unfortunately, I didn't get to see the eclipse here from our public safety building. I saw nothing but clouds, but it was kind of neat to see the darkness. But yeah, everything went well.
No surge in car accidents or anything like that, right? Everything was pretty easy.
No, in fact, it went great. We didn't have any increase in call volume relative to that. It was just a little bit of a surge in the traffic, and that's really all we had to deal with.
Love to see it. Okay, let's talk overdose data. We've actually done a few shows recently on the mental health crisis here in the Finger Lakes and how the overdose epidemic is connected to that. You're seeing some positive signs in Cayuga County. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So in Cayuga County, between January to the end of March of this year, we documented 37 overdoses that were responded to by law enforcement here in our community with one fatality. You know, I hate to say that sounds positive because those are disturbing numbers. One overdose is one too many. One fatal is certainly one too many. But those numbers look a lot better than they have looked in years prior. So I think that our efforts in Cayuga County to, you know, push prevention, to push treatment, to push Narcan out into the community, I think that is saving lives. It's hard to say just how many overdoses could potentially be occurring out there because the numbers just reflect ones that law enforcement's responded to. So, you know, if somebody does have Narcan, if there is an overdose, we don't have that stat documented. But based on the law enforcement responses, the numbers are looking positive, and certainly the numbers relative to fatalities having one in that time frame is good news for us.
Yeah, the underreporting is definitely a thing that all the mental health professionals are bringing up to us when we're doing these stories and when we're talking to folks in that work. When it comes to that, obviously, from a law enforcement perspective, you guys can only work with the data that you have in front of you. You can only work with what you actually see. But given the fact that there is probably there's consensus, there's some underreporting in the overdose issue overall. How important is it for law enforcement to be able to keep the problem in front of them in terms of not letting the positive signs take away from the urgency of the work short term?
Oh, I think we just need to keep pushing and pushing to drop those numbers further. I mean, if we have any overdoses or any fatalities, we've got work to do, and we're going to continue to do that. But, you know, backing up a little bit to what you said, I do agree. I think there is underreporting, but I think the really important number is that one fatality number. You know, it's not, you know, 5, 6, 7 fatalities in the first quarter of the year. It's one. So I think that's a real positive indicator of where we are at community-wide. Even if there are overdoses that aren't being reported, we're not seeing the fatalities that we were. So that's a very important stat for me. But we will keep pushing forward. We have to keep pushing forward. We don't want those numbers to go the other way. And in many communities across the country, they are continuing to climb. And so I feel very confident that we're doing the best that we can here to bring those numbers the other way.
All right, let's talk a little bit about National Telecommunicators Week. Boy, that is a mouthful. I wish they came up with something better than that. National Telecommunicators Week, what is it and what can you tell us about it?
So this is a week that is highlighted each year. It happens each year. This year it's April 14th through the 20th. And it's a week where we recognize and highlight the great work that our 911 dispatchers do. And, you know, I like to say they are our first responders. They take that initial call. They help calm a situation, get the information needed for first responders to respond. And in many cases, they're offering life-saving information over the phone and helping with pre-arrival information that helps save lives. So they are our first responders. We are recognizing them, highlighting the work that they do. They're behind the scenes. You know, we don't hear much about our 911 dispatchers. You don't see them out in the trenches, but they are such a critical, important part of the work we do. And, you know, I just wanted to throw out there that they do a great job, not only here in Cuyahoga County, but throughout your listening area and beyond. They are a critical part of that first response for law enforcement, EMS, and our fire service providers.
911 dispatcher, is that the most underrated profession in law enforcement or public safety?
I think I would agree that it is. And I will tell you, many, many years ago, I actually worked part-time in our dispatch center light duty when I had suffered an injury out on the road. And it was a very difficult and stressful job that I don't think I was made for. It takes a very special person that is able to multitask, that's able to keep calm. It's a very, very tough profession, tough job. So they really deserve all the kudos that we can give them.
Yeah. And to wrap up here, your team helping raise money for Special Olympics New York. What's going on there?
We did. So each year we participate in the Law and Orders fundraiser that Special Olympics has at Applebee's. They do it throughout Central New York and beyond. Many law enforcement agencies will go to Applebee's with our Olympians. They will bus tables and wait on tables, and they're able to keep the tips and donations that are given for the Special Olympics program. So we are very committed to Special Olympics. We do a lot of events with them each year, including the Polar Plunge. But I did the Polar Plunge last year. I can say I like the Law and Order fundraiser at Applebee's much better because it's much warmer. I'd rather do that one than the Polar Plunge. But we love supporting Special Olympics.
Absolutely. Hey, Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. As always, appreciate what you do in the community. And we will be talking to you next month.
Thank you. I appreciate it.